From Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 through 22. When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be left for the alien, the orphan, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all your undertakings. When you beat your olive trees, do not strip what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. When you gather the grapes of your vineyard, do not glean what is left. It shall be for the alien, the orphan, and the widow. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. Therefore, I am commanding you to do this.
And now from Matthew chapter 25, verses 37 through 40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me.
Thank you, Carol and Charles, for reading that scripture for us. And I enjoy seeing your faces and hearing your voices there and connecting. And it's fun to connect with all the singing groups and people in ways like that. Part of my faith journey and life story, as some of you know, I was raised in the church. My parents were active at Community United Methodist Church in Fort Pierce. When I was born, with youth ministry and music ministry throughout my entire life, and different committees and activities throughout the church. And I remember many Sundays being the last ones to leave and having keys and locking up that sanctuary and headed out and towards home. But that church laid a great foundation for me as I heard Bible stories and sang songs in the choirs and went to worship every Sunday as I memorized the books of the Bible and the 23rd Psalm and the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, which were part of our last sermon series, and the Lord's Prayer, which we use every Sunday in worship here. And the other part of my faith, though, that I learned there was putting all of that into action. It wasn't just enough to know those things and to know the verses and the stories, but it was about living them out. The foundation was laid for me by people who gave of their time serving in those ministries and Vacation Bible School and children's choir and youth group, only because they gave of their time, they gave of their resources, they served in sacrificial ways, handing those truths down to me and to others. So as I got older into my teenage years, it was of no surprise that then I was given opportunities there at the church to serve, to put to use those stories and those truths that I had been taught. As I continued in my understanding of Scripture and serving and what it meant to serve, there was an area of ministry that I was especially drawn to, and that was feeding ministries. I got into full-time ministry at First United Methodist Church of Deltona, where I served as the director of youth ministry. And while I was there, we started a soup kitchen on Friday nights, added to it, you know, a clothes closet and some reading tutoring. But it was there, serving in the soup kitchen on Friday nights and being present with everyone there, that the passage from Matthew 25 that was read to us by Charles, that the words of Jesus about feeding the hungry and the activity of doing it for Jesus, it came to life for me. As I watched God's servants, his unpaid people with passion and calling, cooking and laughing and eating together and eating with strangers, new people that they had just met, it was as if those words just jumped off of the page of the Bible and became real. I've continued since that time to be involved in feeding ministries in some way or another. And while doing so, becoming aware that I am still growing and my understanding of feeding ministries and what the Bible has to say about it. Recently, I've experienced a new feeding of my own faith through a new avenue of feeding ministry that I had never experienced before. Through this new avenue of feeding the hungry, I became aware again of the words of the Bible becoming real. I watched them come to life. I had seen the advertising and the bulletin and the e-newsletters and the monthly mission newsletters about gleaning opportunities, but I had never taken the opportunity to go and to glean. I knew that it was in the Bible, that there was some direction given about gleaning, but I couldn't have pinpointed it and told you exactly where in the Bible it was. As we found ourselves, though, in the midst of this pandemic and many, many, many hours being spent at home, indoors, I found myself intrigued about this opportunity, invitation given about gleaning. And I wondered if it wasn't something that my family could do together, and even something that we could do to get out of the house for a little while. So I contacted Forrest, and he got us involved in picking cucumbers, which I learned have little thorns on them, and my hands were all scratched up the first time we did it. Don't worry, just the first time I learned my lesson. But we did that, and corn and blueberries. There were other days when we couldn't go, but other people got strawberries and watermelon and cabbage. The gleaning that our church participates in is done through the Society of St. Andrew. And last year, they collected 13 million pounds of produce that was then given to people who otherwise would not have produce in this healthy food. They allowed people to be part of the words from the Bible, from Deuteronomy that were read earlier, to come to life. It'd be easy and maybe more financially productive for a farmer to go back over the fields to collect all the produce they could for themselves and for their own profit. It's easy to focus on ourselves and our own gain. It's easy to want more, or to even have a philosophy of scarcity and be afraid that I might just not have enough. But Scripture calls us to live and to act in a different manner. You see, we're called to be generous, to be willing to see the needs of others and to be empathetic about those needs to the point that it causes us to act, to do something about it. When these words were written in Deuteronomy about not going over the crop a second time, but instead leaving it for the foreigner and the fatherless and the widow, they were part of Moses' words to the Israelites given before his death and therefore given before they would enter into the promised land. It was reminding them of laws that had been made to them that they had heard before and of how they were to live in community and connection with one another. Now, Leviticus may be one of the least read books of the Bible, basically because it's just this ongoing list of laws. No stories, you know, really, or people to learn about. But in Leviticus 19, 9 and 10, this command was given, and it's a command and a law that Moses found in Deuteronomy needed to be repeated, emphasized, and reiterated to the people. And it said this: "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of the field or gather the gleanings from your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." As they were about to enter into the promised land, a land full of milk and honey, they were given instruction about how they were to be together in community as people who would now become landowners. They were to receive what God had was giving to them, but not just for their personal gain, but for their gain of everyone within their community, all of the Israelites. Life was not about individual, but it was about the people, connected and belonging to one another. So even though it might appear that a piece of land or a crop be given for them as an individual, they were to come to understand that it was for the greater good, not just of self, but of others, for those who would be in need, the foreigner who would be a stranger to them, a child who was without a parent to provide for them, the widow who would not have any means of her own since she would be unable to own land during that time. Moses was feeding the faith of the people. He was feeding it as he was pouring these teachings and these ways of life into the people, and in that, teaching them that they had to look out for one another by feeding the people physically, to be sure that there was not one single person without that basic necessity of food. God didn't care for some of them, but for all of them. So he wanted to be sure that all people were taken care of, that all would receive the harvest he was going to provide for them. God was calling the people through Moses and these laws to love as he had loved, to be generous as he was going to be generous to them, to provide as he had provided for them. The verses read this morning end in the words, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. This is why I have commanded you to do this." You see, God heard the cry of the people in Israel when they were slaves. He saw their misery and brought them up out of the slavery and was giving to them this new place that they would be able to call home. And just as God had redeemed the people, they were to be redeeming to one another with this nurturing, loving, generous way about themselves and how they were in connection, community with one another, not only spiritually, not only in their worshiping life, but also physically, emotionally. The community was to hear the cry, to see the need and to bring people up out of the pit of hunger. They would have this ability to rise up out of this place because the community around them would mirror God's loving kindness. We are to mirror God's loving kindness. A few weeks ago, we heard about Jesus' words about judging. And this is a place where we can so easily judge. We can jump to conclusions as to why people are hungry. They're lazy. They won't get a job. They just want handouts. We blame the person that is hungry as if they did or are doing something wrong, rather than seeing them as people who are in need, and therefore seeing our connection to them, seeing that we have something to offer them, and even seeing that they have something to offer us, and therefore coming alongside them to find the solutions. Coming alongside the poor and hungry is really so much about what and why Methodism was created. The Wesleys and the early Methodist movement spent a great deal of time feeding people, discovering why they were hungry and what within the system of the society around them kept them hungry. They came alongside them to be sure that they could get fed physically, which then led to feeding them spiritually and mentally, emotionally. As they then came into the flock, they came a part of the Christian community connected with one another. During this time of pandemic, our Bishop Ken Carter has called the people that call themselves United Methodists to put this emphasis in that activity in feeding the people. In an initiative he has called Fill the Table. He gathered a group of people together from around Florida to organize and to get together this plan of action. When we first started gathering together, we called the initiative Million Meals, meaning we were going to feed a million meals in the next year. Well, we soon decided that wasn't enough. In study, it was discovered that there are almost 3 million people in Florida that are food insecure. So we decided 3 million was the number of meals we would make our goal, and although I think we're going to go above that too. The churches gathering together to feed people. Because in it we also set that 100,000 people would be involved in these feeding ministries, getting more involved in fulfilling this call, being active in ministry together. I mentioned the term food insecure in a recent book that I read called I Was Hungry by Jeremy Everett. I learned that food insecure means that a person has the lack of access to healthy food in order to live a healthy lifestyle. So not only does the person not have food, they also don't have nutritional food that tends to be a little bit more expensive. Through the United Way and Feeding America, we can see numbers not only for Florida, being that there's almost 3 million people food insecure, but also for Polk County specifically. The most recent numbers, I found that there are 91,770 people in Polk County that are food insecure, 13.7% of the people that live around us. During this time, as we've been working with partners like SOSA, which is Society of St. Andrew, Salvation Army, Mulberry United Methodist Church, and Called to Serve Farm Workers, we have learned that there are more people showing up at food distributions at this time than ever before, than before this pandemic was being experienced. People who had never had to go to food pantries before are finding that they have to go because they have decisions to make in life, like, do I buy food or do I pay the utilities? So we continue to partner in order to answer the call to feed. So keep a lookout in ways that we as a church are in ministry and how you can be involved. Keep a lookout for people in your own life, at work, in your neighborhood, maybe the stranger that comes along in your life. And feed those that are hungry to be part of God's loving kindness. James 2, 15 through 17 says, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accompanied, if not accompanied by action, is dead. So brothers and sisters, let us live this life of faith. Let us live everything that God pours into us in our lives as followers of Jesus. And let us take what we've been given and be generous with it. Share with the world our heart, our minds, our bodies, our food, all that we have that belongs to us, so that we can feed the hungry, those that hunger and thirst to know the Lord. Will you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for your word that continues to stir and teach and lead us. I pray, Lord, for all those that are hungry today, that they would know that they are not forsaken, that you have heard their cry, and that we, the church, are coming alongside to answer, to feed. Let us see what you've given to us, Lord, and how we can take what we have and put it into action, that the words of Scripture might come alive, not only in our lives, but in the life of the world, so that all would experience your redemption, your loving kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remember when I served at the church, First United Methodist Church in Melbourne, very similar to what we experience here. We gathered the confirmation class together every week. On Sunday afternoons, we would gather together and the pastors would teach a lesson and then they'd break off into small groups with mentors. And they'd have not only that time, but some outside activities and events and opportunities they were invited to be a part of too. And so one Sunday afternoon, a group came in with a bag of stuff, and they handed it to me. And it was a bag of food, and they tenderly and lovingly shared with me that one of the things that they had decided to do as a group was to make a meal to provide for me and my daughter. And so that night, as I'd left confirmation class and headed home, I didn't have to go home and think about dinner or cook dinner and clean it up and all of that. It was already provided. In those days, I was a single parent, and sometimes dinner was a struggle. It was a struggle to get it on the table and to get it all cleaned up after work. And so I just saw this as a huge gift from God, that God had heard my struggle, he had heard my cry, and he was answering. And in that meal that I shared with my daughter, even though it was the two of us at the table, it was like all that confirmation class was around the table with us, supporting us and loving us, and telling us about who God is, about his generosity, about his providing, about his loving kindness. You know, there's just something magical that happens with food. There's something magical that happens around the table. And God knew that. God ordained that. And so he tells us to feed the hungry, to feed one another, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and in that, to see his presence there in the midst, to come to know him and to come to know one another in a deeper, more intimate way, to love God and to love neighbor. Brothers and sisters, you have been loved. You have been given to by God, a God who loves you so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ. So we get to go from this space and we get to love God and to love our neighbor in everything that we do. Amen.